It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study today, we want to continue with the subject, the local church. And today, let's look at the subject and expand that just a little. The practical local church, putting things in order. I wonder if you are excited about attending your local church. Can you say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. No, I don't believe we need to enter our church dancing down the aisles. And on the other hand, I don't believe that we need to enter the church looking like death warmed over. We need to be excited about our privilege of being able to join our hearts together for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. As the children of God, we are to do things decently and in order. Not only as the people of God are we to do things decently and in order, we're also to do things decently and in order as those who are members of God's local New Testament church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, the word practical, and this is our subject for today, practical, the practical local church, that's our subject. The word practical does not mean to be ordinary. It means to be concerned with matters of fact, not something that is made up, but matters of fact to be useful. The term in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 tells about being decent or decently and in order. In other words, according to priorities, to do things that are appropriate in a way that conforms to accepted standards of moral behavior or appearance according to the Bible. Do things decently and in order, all things, the Bible says. Well, order. This is an arrangement, the way in which things are arranged as an indication of their relative importance. Then we understand that the people of God, those who are saved, are to do these things decently and in order. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We go on and we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. A person asked this, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So we see that the people of God are to be practical. They are to set priorities. They are to do things that are needful. It's not to be done in an arranged way. It's not haphazard. These are the saved people of God and members of God's church. These are the saved people, and these are the baptized people. And after you get saved, you get baptized. You don't get baptized to be saved, but you get baptized after you're saved, immersed in water. This is the practical local church, immersed in water. Remember, salvation comes before baptism. This means that when a person is baptized, these are people joining physically God's local New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Well, notice, they received his word before they got baptized. In other words, they got saved before they were baptized. Well, notice what took place. It says, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, who is this? Who are these people? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is speaking of the early New Testament church in Jerusalem. Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, this is the first mention of the word church. We mentioned that in another study. And in Acts, the context indicates that the reference is to the visible body of believers in the Jerusalem church, functioning as described in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, a local New Testament Bible-believing local church in Jerusalem. That's what we're talking about here. Well, notice things about our subject today of putting things in order. The practical local church. I believe there's an order that needs to be in practice in our lives as saved people. Number one, God. Before all things, God was. Notice in Psalm 90 in verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Well, this means that Christ and God, this is God, was before the local church. We need to put God first in our lives. Well, then we see something else about God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The Bible tells us there in Genesis 1:1. Well, John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, to the skeptical question as to who made God, maybe you've been asked that question and someone tries to make an argument out of that and who made God. Well, the only answer that satisfies all the facts of both science and human reason is that God is from everlasting. He is the creator of time as well as space and all things that exist in time and space. Now, this is beyond my mental comprehension, but there is no other rational explanation for our existence, and it is surely compatible with the intuitions of our spiritual comprehension. God satisfies the heart regardless of difficulties conjured up in the mind. Yet maybe you've heard that old song, "We'll understand it better by and by." Well, we can't understand everything that God has placed here for us to read in the Word of God, and we can't understand everything as a human being, but one day we're going to understand things better by and by. And you can understand things better by and by today by getting into His Word. I'm speaking to saved people. You need to get to know God better today. Get in His Word. Well, number one is God. He is before all things. He's the beginning. He created all things. And the next point I want you to understand is He is the creator of everything. Genesis 1:1 again says He created the heaven and the earth. And in Colossians 1:16 it says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." He's everything. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6 says, "And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Then once again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, it says this, "As concerning therefore the eating of things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." When passages such as John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 and Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17, it's revealed that God the Creator is identical with Jesus Christ. Jesus is God incarnate. According to John chapter 1 and verse 14, we'll read that in just a moment, but I want you to notice that all things were both created by Jesus Christ and made by Jesus Christ according to John chapter 1 and verse 3. That is, these things were called into being out of nothing and then organized into complex, complete forms of being, each perfect for its particular purpose. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." You see, then it goes on in verse 17, and it says this, "And He is before all things," and that's Jesus Christ. That's God. He's God. John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "The Word was God." And verse 14 says, "The Word was made flesh." none other than Jesus Christ. He was made flesh. God is before all. We need to place Him first. He's the beginning. He's the creator. He's everything. Then we see that He is love. But you know, there's something that goes even further than that. He's love, but notice what Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Well, God is love, but the Bible teaches us that we are to love Him. And Mark here adds the phrase, and with all thy strength. We're to give it all we've got. We're to love God with every ounce of being, with everything, with every fiber of our being. We're to love God because He first loved us. To really love God, He must be number one in our lives and in your life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served. Well, this would be tradition. In other words, get rid of the tradition. And it goes on to say in that verse, on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. This is a symbol of the world. And it goes on to say, serve ye the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. Is God number one in your life? Now, number two is the home. First is God. Then we see the home. And there is an order in the home. We see man, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Remember, God is first. Then comes the home. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Well, then we see the woman. And it tells us there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. So we see there that God created man. We see the woman, and then we see children in Genesis chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we see man, we see woman, and we see children. And God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them. This is Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. We see we also see it broken down even further in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 speak of husbands. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it speaks of fathers. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, and Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, speaks of women and wives. And then Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 talks about husbands and wives. This would be fathers and mothers to train up their children in the way they should go. And then we also see children in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, God says He loves you today, and if you've never trusted Him, He wants you to know that He loves you, and He wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ gave His life for you, but good news, He's alive today, and He's offering eternal life to you. Get saved. Ask Him to come into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.